Welcome to Dragonfly Tales, a storybook cast with me, Leo, and Emily.
Hello! And each episode we will tell you a story from around the world and share some fun and silly things with you.
So, Emily, we have some fantastic news to share with the listeners.
We do. Go on then.
All right, drum roll please. We have been nominated for the British Podcast Awards.
Hooray! Oh, yes, we've been nominated in the kids category for the British Podcast Awards. We are so excited and we want to say a really, really big heartfelt thank you to all of our amazing listeners and our supporters who have helped us to get to this place, encouraging us to keep telling our stories, singing our songs and bringing that magic to all of you.
Yeah, this is pretty much a dream come true for us.
It is.
Thank you so much. And thanks for listening. We're really, really honoured to have an opportunity like this. And we're really proud of you guys and ourselves.
Oh, yes. And we'd like to take the opportunity to big up the other amazing kids podcasts that have been nominated in our category.
You can check them out at the British Podcast Awards website.
And I'll put a link in the show notes. Well, Leo, because we've been away exploring and adventuring, we have got tons of shout-outs, so I think we should probably crack on with them.
Yeah, let's go!
Okay, off you go, Leo. Who have we got first?
Firstly, here's a long, long-awaited shout-out to Hugh in Baltimore, Maryland, USA. Thanks for being so patient, Hugh, and thanks to Mum and Dad for voting for us too.
Yes, he's been waiting a really long time for this shout-out, so let's go for it. Hi, Hugh! Thanks for listening!
Next, we have a shout-out to Nelly, who is 6, in Devon. And this shout-out is actually from Ossia, who is 8, Lula, who is 6, and Finn, who is 2. Nelly introduced them to our podcast.
Oh, brilliant. That's it. Keep spreading the words. Hi, folks. Thanks for listening.
We also have a shout-out to Adair, who is 6, and Violet, who is 4, in Birmingham, Alabama.
Hi, Adair.
Hi, Adair.
Hi, Violet. Thanks for listening.
Here's a shout-out to Laylee, who is 6 and lives in New Jersey, USA. She loves the Greek myths, such as Perseus and Medusa and Theseus and the Minotaur.
Oh, yeah, we love the Greek myths. Hi, Laylee.
Hi, Laylee.
Thanks for listening.
Next, we have a shout-out to Alec, who is 7, from Mallorca, Spain. But he's visiting Nana and Grandad in New Zealand.
Wow, what a jet-setter. Hi, Alex. Thanks for listening.
And hi, Nana and Grandad. We also have a shout-out to Orion from Dublin. He loves the podcast and is on the second run-through from the start.
Oh, brilliant. That's it. Keep listening to the back catalogue. Hi, Orion. Thanks for listening.
Here we have a shout-out for Nara, who is 6 and lives in Taunton in Somerset.
Hi, Nara. Thanks for listening.
Here's a shout-out to Amira, who is 8 in Brooklyn.
Oh, we were there recently.
Yeah.
Hi, Amira. Thanks for listening. Say hi to Brooklyn for us.
Next is a shout-out to Asher. He's 7 and comes from South Haven, Michigan, USA. He loves the stories about gods and goddesses.
Oh, me too. Hi, Asher. Thanks for listening.
Here's a shout-out to Arlen, who is 6, living in Steyning, UK.
Hi, Arlen. Thanks for listening.
And finally, here's a shout-out to Rosie in Stelling Minas, Kent.
Oh, just down the road from your auntie and uncle. Hi, Rosie. Thanks for listening. Wow, Leo, I don't think we've had quite so many shout-outs before.
I know, right?
Tons of them. And remember, if you would like a shout-out on our podcast, then you can either let us know in the Dragonfly Tales Facebook group or you can email us, emilydragonflytales@gmail.com.
Tell us your age and your town, please.
And I'll put all the details of how to do that in the show notes.
So, Emily, what's your story today?
Well, Leo, my story is from the state of Louisiana in the USA.
Ooh.
It's a Cajun story and takes place on the bayou.
Whoa there. What's a bayou?
Well, it's an area of water found mostly near the Mississippi River Delta. Can you spell Mississippi, Leo?
M-I-S-S-I-S-S-S-S-S.
Okay, we'll leave it there. But yes, the Mississippi River Delta, you get lots of rivers and streams and lakes and marshy swamp-like areas around there. There is some amazing wildlife in the bayou. Can you have a guess what kind of creatures you might find?
Alligators?
Yeah.
Turtles?
Oh, yes.
Frogs?
Ribbit.
Snakes?
You do. Also, you find lots of birds, herons and eagles. You find muskrats and river rats, raccoons, bears.
I don't know the sound of a raccoon, I'm sorry.
I don't know, me either. Kind of like... And even wild peacocks.
Brrr.
And of course, one creature who nobody seems to like.
Oh, let me guess. I bet it's a mosquito.
Lots of mosquitoes down in the bayou because it's very hot and damp and humid. Oh, yes, mosquitoes love it there.
And by the way, what's Cajun?
Well, Cajun are a people originally from French Canada who came to the southern states of America long ago. And they brought their stories and their culture with them. And over the centuries, they blended it with other cultures and people who lived on the bayou. African, Spanish influences, Indian, even Irish. Like the ingredients in their famous gumbo stew. A little bit of this thrown in and a little bit of that. Cajun culture is rich in stories, folklore, music, and its spicy cuisine.
Ooh, what kind of food do they have?
Ooh, well, lots of stews like gumbo, jambalaya, lots of things with crawfish and crayfish and prawns, spicy food and lots of barbecue food as well. So how do you think we should start the story?
Well, I think we should start on the banks of the bayou, way down in Louisiana.
Excellent. On the banks of the bayou, way down in Louisiana, where the trunks of the bald cypress trees look like giant elephant feet rising out of the swamps, there lived a lady who was so beautiful that all who saw her stopped and stared. Folks would smile and bow their heads or tip their hats when she walked by. Do you want to say hello, Leo?
Good morning, miss. How are you on your fine day?
Oh.
How you doing?
But the lady never responded. She walked by with her nose in the air. You see, she was lovely as a summer's day on the outside.
But chilly as a winter's night on the inside?
You've got it. She cared for nobody but herself. She loved looking at her reflection in her mirror, in lakes, even in her spoon as she sat at her table.
How vain. Oh, and of course, I bet no one was good enough for her.
You guessed it. Many folk came to the house to ask her for her hand in marriage, but all of them were sent away with her harsh words ringing in their ears. You, sir, are as bald as a turtle.
That's rude.
My, my, how incredibly short you are. Just like a little muskrat.
That's even ruder.
Now, why would I marry you, sir? You have no money.
Hey, that's horrible. She's so mean.
Isn't she? Well, one day, while she was sitting on the porch, gazing at herself in her hand mirror.
Why, of course.
A beautiful carriage drawn by four magnificent white horses stopped at the house. Out stepped a gentleman dressed in a shimmering blue and green coat. He bowed low to the lady and told her that he had fallen in love with her. What's more, he politely asked for her hand in marriage, promising always to be kind and faithful, to be her friend and confidant, and to share his great fortune with her.
Well, that sounds like a great deal to me.
It does. The lady looked up from her mirror and screamed.
Ah!
The man's face was twisted and deformed, with a huge scar running from his forehead to his lip.
Oh, you, sir, are uglier than a swamp hog.
Ooh.
You dare to show your hideous face to me? You're not fit to wipe my boots. Now be gone, lest I catch some of your ugliness.
There was a cry from an eagle. A wind began to blow, whipping up the leaves about the porch. The carriage, the horses, and the man had vanished.
Wait, what? There's something fishy going on around here.
And in their place stood a woman with dark eyes. Her head was bound with a white scarf. Her scarlet skirt came all the way down to the ground, and about her shoulders there slithered a snake.
Who's she?
Well, the lady knew exactly who it was, though she'd never met her. Mama Julia, the voodoo princess.
You don't scare me, you mean old swamp witch!
But Mama Julia smiled. There was such knowing in that smile. Your beauty is everything to you. It blinds you to human kindness. I could take it from you right now, turn you ugly as a toad, but I have other plans. Mama Julia told her that in 1 year's time the lady would have a child, a daughter. She will grow to be more beautiful than you. She will become the most beautiful woman, both inside and out. And you will have to watch it happen right before your eyes as old Papa Time takes away the one thing you love. The snake hissed, the leaves swirled, and the priestess was gone.
Ha! Stupid old swamp witch!
That sounded very much like a curse to me.
It did, didn't it? Well, months passed, and sure enough, Mama Julia's words came true. The lady knew she was going to have a child.
And I'm guessing when the child was born, it was a girl?
It was a lovely, gurgling baby girl.
And did she love her baby daughter?
No, of course not. She was filled with hatred for the child. One day, she was thinking about getting rid of the baby, leaving her in the swamp for the alligators.
That's not very motherly, is it?
When there was a knock at the door. It was an old nursemaid looking for work.
You're hired, said the woman. Now keep this baby away from me.
She thrust the little babe into the nursemaid's arms and stormed off. She didn't want to see her daughter. She didn't even name her daughter. So the nursemaid named her. She called her Cosette.
Cosette? Pretty name. Is that French?
It is French. It means sweet little thing.
Well, that's nice at least.
And so she was. She grew sweeter and sweeter as each year passed. As her mother watched Cosette blossoming into a pretty girl, the jealousy grew inside her. So she locked little Cosette away in a room with no windows.
It's a bit like Snow White, or even Rapunzel.
How very perceptive, Leo. The young girl only had the nursemaid for company.
It must have been very lonely.
It was.
But why didn't the nursemaid help her escape?
Well, the poor woman was too afraid of the mother. But she did read to Cosette and tell her stories, and sometimes, when the house was empty, the nursemaid would let the girl peek into the garden. Cosette watched the silver bell trees swaying in the breeze, the sunbeams dancing through the branches, and she spied through the bushes the waters of the bayou. One time, when the nurse had let her out to the garden, Cosette saw the most beautiful large bird with indigo, blue, green feathers and a long shimmering tail strutting majestically across the lawn.
Nurse, what do you call that pretty bird?
Why, that is a peacock, little one. He is the king of all the birds.
King Peacock? One day, if I ever escape here and marry, I hope to marry someone as handsome as King Peacock.
The nursemaid smiled sadly.
May le bon Dieu hear you, my child.
A peacock? Don't they usually mean something special in stories?
They do. Well, what have you heard about peacocks?
Well, in some stories, they represent being proud and vain, and also being bad luck because of all their eyes on the huge tail.
Yes, I remember when I was a child, having a peacock feather in your house was supposed to be bad luck. But that's to some cultures. In others, they're seen as beautiful, immortal, and very lucky. All those eyes on their tails are not evil eyes. They're for protection. They represent all the beauty of nature with their dazzling colours. Well, just as the voodoo princess had predicted, Cosette grew up to be very beautiful.
Even more so than her mother.
That's right. And it drove the mother mad with jealousy and rage. She would stand in front of her mirror every night, wringing her hands. She must go. She must die. Then I will be the most beautiful once more. But like most jealous and vain people, she wasn't going to do it herself.
Again, I'm getting very much Evil Queen vibes from this lady.
Indeed. So she summoned the poor nursemaid. Take this knife and end that girl's life. If you do not, I'll put an end to you. The nursemaid begged and begged, but the mother had no heart. When Cosette found out what her mother had ordered, she wept with her nurse. But I will not do it, my petite. I would rather she took my life than yours.
Never, said Cosette. You are like the mother I never had. If I must die to spare your life, then so be it. I shall jump in the well.
What? Cosette, you mustn't.
Well, if it will save your life, I have no choice.
And she marched into the garden and straight up to the well.
Wait, Cosette!
The nurse's face was streaming with tears. Take these. Cherie, as you jump, swallow one, and you will feel no pain. And the nurse placed three little red seeds in Cosette's hand. Cosette climbed up onto the side of the well.
I think we had better hold it here. Absolutely, positively, do not try this at home, listeners.
I think that's good advice. Do not ever try this. Cosette placed a seed in her mouth. Just at that moment, her mother appeared at the window, eyes filled with hatred. She smiled a wintry smile as Cosette inched closer to the edge. And then she jumped.
Oh, she's crazy.
When she splashed into the well, the little seed fell out of Cosette's mouth and into the water. In an instant, all the water in the well began to dry up. Cosette found herself sitting at the bottom of the dry well, completely unharmed.
Phew! That seed must be magic. How did it do that?
She looked up. Oh, how do I get out of here? She waited until the light above began to fade, and then she began to climb out of the well. Do you remember, Leo, there is a way to climb out of a well?
Oh, yes. I remember from our story, Mama Dragger. We have to put one foot here, one foot there, and so on and so on and up she went.
When Cosette reached the top, all was dark. The crickets chirped and the stars twinkled. She must think I'm dead, thought Cosette. To save my sweet nurse, I'd best run away.
Let me get this straight. Does she still have the two seeds?
She does. Cosette ran off into the woods towards the bayou. The Spanish moss hung from the trees like the beards of old men. Frogs croaked. River rats scurried and alligators watched her from the swampy waters, still as floating logs. She walked a long time through the trees, with only the stars to light the way, until she came to a tumble-down shack. A cabin on the edge of the bayou. There was a little boat moored up outside. She knocked at the door and a woman opened it. She was old as time itself, with a soft, wrinkled face and dark eyes. Her head was bound with a white scarf. Her scarlet skirt came all the way down to the ground, and about her shoulders there slithered...
A snake? It can't be. But it must be. Mama Julia, the voodoo princess.
Mama Julia. With one gnarled hand, she brought Cosette inside and sat her down on a stool by her gumbo pot. What you doing all the way out here, child? You in some kind of trouble? Cosette didn't know whether to trust the old woman. She looked down at her hands. And Mama Julia spied the two little red seeds. Where'd you get those? Those belong to me. I gave them to a nursemaid long ago. They're magic seeds. You must be the child she nursed. Your mama must be that wicked lady. Yes, and she wants me dead, or she'll kill my sweet nursemaid. Mama Julia raised one dark eyebrow. Well, you may not have to wait long. Don't you know my old man is an ogre? If he sees you, he'll eat you up for sure.
Wait, she's married to an ogre? Red seeds, ogre husband, this story's getting really weird.
Cosette looked sadly at Mama Julia. Well, maybe that's for the best, for then my sweet nurse will not die. Hush, child. If you die, do you really think your mama will be satisfied? She got no kindness in her, and every day old Papa Time is gonna steal a little more of her beauty, just like he did to me. Difference being I don't care much, 'cause I got wisdom, and I got a good heart. You just take one of my seeds, and you'll fear none. Cosette took one of the little seeds and placed it in her mouth. Just then, they heard the sound of great footsteps approaching.
Oh, no, the ogre's coming home!
Do you want to thud with me, Leo? Here
okay.
We go.
Thud.
And then the door opened. Bang! And in came a huge, ugly ogre. Can you describe him, Leo? What do you think he looks like?
Well, I think he has mossy green skin.
Ugh.
Cracked and broken teeth.
Ugh.
A big, fat, crooked nose.
Ugh.
Which he lifted into the air.
Oh, no, we know what ogres do, don't we?
Sniff, 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 Mama Julia. I smell fresh meat in here.
Oh, lovely. I think you should be the ogre.
Okay. There!
He started pounding towards Cosette, his big hands ready to tear her to shreds. But he stopped in his tracks. Cosette was looking at him with her large eyes, and she showed no fear of him at all. The ogre scratched his lumpy head.
Why is she screaming? Why is she terrified?
Mama Julia smiled and stirred her gumbo. The ogre sat down opposite Cosette.
Ain't you scared of my ugly face?
Cosette looked at the ogre sadly. No, sir. I'm not scared of you. You don't look so ugly to me. I'll tell you what's ugly. My mama's heart. She's so beautiful. Yet still she wants to murder me. So go ahead and eat me, and save her the trouble. The ogre glanced at Mama Julia, and then back at Cosette. For here was the first human who had not screamed in horror at the sight of his face. And what a beautiful, kind face this girl had.
Well, that's a sad tale indeed. Folks round here think I'm bad because of my looks. Truth be told, I ain't never eaten no human. But I scares them pretty good. You know what? You can stay with us this night. I swear no harm will come to you.
Mama Julia made a bed near the fire for her, and as Cosette lay down, she put the last red seed in her mouth, just in case the ogre changed his mind and ate her for breakfast.
Oh, I'm not gonna do that!
Mama Julia sat next to the girl as she slept, fanning her with a beautiful peacock feather.
Les marins noirs l'ont mangé ma belle. Ils ont resté de ces gros sautés. C'est pour me faire des bouchons de liège. C'est pour boucher mes demi-bouteilles. Mon papa s'en allait mouler, et ma maman s'en allait l'éléphant, et mon petit frère sur un awaro, et ma petite soeur sur un coin de ma queue. Les marins noirs l'ont mangé ma belle, ils ont resté de ces gros sautés. C'est pour me faire des bouchons de liège, c'est pour boucher mes demi-bouteilles.
As she slept, the little seed worked its magic. Cosette slept a long time. The ogre gazed at her pretty face and waited patiently for her to wake up, but she did not. She slept for 3 whole days. No breath came from her lips and she lay still.
Is she dead?
I guess she must be dead, said Mama Julia, raising one dark eyebrow. You best make a casket for her.
With tears in his eyes, the ogre carved a beautiful coffin for Cosette, made from cypress wood. Then he carefully painted it with swirling gold patterns and leaves and gently laid Cosette inside.
Be ashamed to bury her in the ground, don't you think? Send her down the bayou, as you would a fair princess.
The ogre did as Mama Julia suggested and placed the sparkling coffin into his boat, pushing it gently off, away down the bayou.
That crafty voodoo princess, she knows Cosette is alive.
The coffin floated downstream for 3 days and 3 nights, far, far away from Cosette's home, past towns and villages, swampland and fields, until it came floating toward a kingdom, ruled, it was said, by a young king who was wise beyond his years. He was kind and creative, seeking not war but peace to unite his people. As the king was walking along the levee one day with his advisers, dressed in a fine blue and green coat, he suddenly spotted something golden shimmering in the water. he ordered his men to fetch it to shore. So they set out in a little boat and brought it back. Imagine the king's surprise.
A golden coffin!
This must surely be the coffin of a great king, he thought. He ordered the coffin to be carried back to the palace for proper burial. But whom did the coffin belong to?
There's only one way to find out.
The lid was lifted, and there lay Cosette. The king was spellbound. Not a king then, but the most beautiful queen. He was so confused. She didn't look dead. She looked as if she was peacefully sleeping.
That's 'cause she's alive. Get the message.
How could he bury her? Perhaps he thought it was some sort of spell and he could wake her up.
Yeah, duh!
She came from the direction of the swamps. He'd heard tell of magic folk who could enchant you. Maybe this was it, a spell. Cosette was lifted from the coffin and placed on a soft bed. The royal doctor was called, who rubbed at her wrists and cheeks with tonics and potions and rose water. He waved smelling salts under her nose, but her eyes stayed closed. The king tried to frighten her awake.
Boo!
He banged drums, played trumpets, popped balloons, shouted in her ear.
Wake up!
But nothing. Cosette lay perfectly still.
I take it back. Perhaps she is truly dead.
With a heavy heart, he picked up a bright blue peacock feather and gently stroked her cheek with it. Wait. A smile. A smile passed over her lips and he thought he could see something caught in her teeth. Something little and red. He ordered the doctor to examine her teeth and with a golden pin the doctor picked out a tiny seed. When the seed fell from her mouth, Cosette breathed in, stretched, slowly opened her eyes. She saw the king in his shimmering blue coat, smiling over her. Oh, it's you. I've been dreaming of you. King Peacock, I somehow knew you would find me. How strange, said the king. My dreams have also been of a beautiful queen with a kind heart. Tell me, what is your name? Cosette, your majesty. Well, I don't need to tell you what happened next.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, well, Cosette and the king were married, and the new queen sent for her nursemaid to be brought back to the palace to live with them in peace. Oh, how overjoyed the nursemaid was to see her beloved Cosette again.
Good for them. But what about her cruel mother?
Well, you see, Mama Julia was right. Old Papa Time came for the woman's beauty in the end, and with no warmth in her heart, there was nothing left for her to live for. She died alone, in misery.
Served her right. What about Cosette and her king?
Well, they lived on happily together until they were very old and grey.
Oh, what about offering the ogre?
Well, thanks to Cosette, the ogre realised that humans could be kind. So he made his peace with them.
And Mama Julia?
Well, who do you think told me this story?
Wait, what?
Well, for all I know, she's still there in her swamp by the banks of the bayou, stirring her gumbo and singing to herself.
Les marins l'ont mangé ma belle. Ils ont resté de ces gros sautés. C'est pour me faire des bouchons de liège. C'est pour boucher mes demi-bouteilles. Et mon mon papa s'en allait mouler, et ma maman s'en allait les fonds, et mon petit frère sur un awaron, et ma petite soeur sur un coin de ma queue. Les marins noirs l'ont mangé ma belle, ils ont resté de ces gros sautés. C'est pour me faire des bouchons de liège, c'est pour boucher mes demi-beautés.
So, Leah, did you like that story?
Yeah, I thought it was brilliant.
What was your favourite bit?
Well, I like how the story was connected to other fairy tales, like Rapunzel in the tower, and Snow White with the evil mother, and the falling asleep in a coffin.
Yeah, there were loads and loads of connection to other fairy tales. Mm. The young girl being locked up, like you said, very much like Rapunzel.
Yeah.
Even the fact that Cosette ate something that put her into a sleep. A bit like the poison apple in Snow White, wasn't
yeah.
it?
But by far, my favourite character was the ogre.
Yeah, it was strange. There was an ogre as well. Like, there's ogres in Molly Whoopie and Puss in Boots and things like that. There were lots of fairy tale elements in this story, and I think it's wonderful.
Yeah. So that's it for this episode. Thanks to all of our amazing listeners who have inspired us along our way and helped us get nominated.
And if you are enjoying our podcast, you can still vote for us for the Listener's Choice category of the British Podcast Awards.
Or you can leave us a review saying how much you love us.
Oh yeah, 5 stars, please. And if you can, make a little donation on the website to keep us going. And thank you so much. You have been listening to Dragonfly Tales with Emily and Leo.
We hope you enjoyed our podcast, and we'll be back with our brand new season in September.
Oh, new season coming! But until then, beauty comes and beauty goes.
But love and kindness is how real beauty flows.
Bye!
This podcast is brought to you by Emily, Leo and Andy at Dragonfly Tales. Join our Dragonfly Tales podcast group on Facebook, find us on Instagram at Dragonfly Tales Pod, and follow us on Twitter at Emily Dragonfly.
Huh? I ain't you scared of my ugly face?